Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in control. And technology is great when it works, but it doesn't always work. It lets us down from time to time, but one thing we can be confident in is your unfailing love, power, and support. So Lord, we call upon you now. I call upon you, Lord, to be my strength and let me be your voice, because we want to hear from you this morning. So Lord, just bless us as we seek to bless you. Feed us this morning from your word. I ask it in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I've entitled the message, Stand Firm on the Rock. And that rock is Jesus, the word of God. There is only one true freedom, and that can only be found in him, in Christ. This morning I want to take us through a passage of scripture and bring the message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. And I want to start by looking at Galatians 5, 1 to 26. It is for the redeemed that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who called you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, frictions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to take the meat out of that passage that we've just read, and let us to apply it to our own lives as we need, to iron out the wrinkles that may have formed over the years. Lord, we just pray that you will continue to put up with us and love us and work at changing us. Have your way like the potter. Break the mould. Reform the clay. Make us into the people that you would have us be. For we ask it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. It's quite a passage, isn't it? But it's quite a powerful passage. In this passage, Paul is warning the Galatian church. But not only is it a warning to them, it should be a warning to us as well, that we must stand firm and not be led astray by what's going on in the world today. We need to hold on to the fact that the Lord, who loved us and loves us, is not affected by the fads that this world has. Thank goodness. He remains constant, as we can read in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, the Galatians were being pressurized by outside influences. And we're being pressurized by outside influences at the minute. You've just got to switch on the news and you listen to all sorts of things going on, from that word that I don't like to say too much, Brexit. And also, it's been on in the newspaper yesterday that even Strictly Come Dancing, which I used to like watching, as of next year, the next series, they're going to have same-sex partners dancing. And it seems ludicrous to me. It just seems that since I've come to the Lord, there is less and less that the world has got to offer that I feel comfortable taking part in or watching on television programs, you know, that I used to enjoy before I came to the Lord and saw no harm in. Now they just prick my spirit and I just can't stand them. So it seems the more and more that you walk with the Lord, the more and more the world throws mud at you, as it were. But I digress a little bit. We read, well, soon it doesn't matter what we believe in. You have to abide by what the law requires, it seems. According to our law, the laws of this country, it doesn't matter what the Bible says anymore. Now, at one time, we were a Christian country. And everything, there was prayers before Parliament, there was prayers before school started, there was prayers before town meetings. Everything the Lord was included in. But now he's been pushed out of everything. And that's why we're getting all of these things coming in and attacking us as Christians. It's a fact that it doesn't matter what the Bible says. In the law, Christians have got no rights other than to obey what the law says, or we face the consequences. And there's been many cases where Christians have been through the courts for refusing to comply with the law, no matter how vague it might seem, because of their faith. And you know, we've supported them in prayer. I'm thinking about a bakery in Northern Ireland that was taken to court and fined for not providing a birthday cake. You know, it sounds a nonsense, but it happens. If it had been anybody else, there wouldn't have been anything. But we were targeted. They were targeted because they were a Christian bakery. And that's what happens when you stand up for the Lord. You get targeted by Satan. And we've got to be wise about this. We've got to be wary about it. And we've got to stand firm in our faith. Society in general likes to have rules to follow. It makes it easier to maintain order. And we've seen the disorder on the news in Hong Kong, haven't we? Because people aren't just accepting the rules that trying to be imposed on them. But, you know, that's why society likes rules, because they don't want people having their own say. They want you to go and go along their path, as it were. It's easier to maintain order and to keep an eye on people and keep them in their proper place, as it were. And many in our society conform quite meekly to all those rules and regulations. And I thought it was us Christians who were the sheep. Today in our society, there are those who think that going to church, attending prayer meetings, Bible studies, and generally being what one might term as religious, is all that's required to make them acceptable to God. Yet Scripture clearly states that there is only one way, and that is through faith in Christ, God's one and only Son. It is only then that through God's grace that we can receive salvation and claim the protecting cover of the righteousness of His Son. The Galatians needed to be reminded of this as believers, and so do we. Romans 7 in verse 4 has this to say: "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." What does that mean? I believe it means that each one of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Saviour needs to take heed of and comply with the Great Commission, as Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, which read, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now I ask you, that's not too hard to do, is it? Well, I would answer, yes, it can be, but only if we try to do it in our own strength. That's why Jesus finished this command with the assurance, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." We are never going to be put in any position where we're alone. Christ is always there with us. The only time that we feel Christ isn't there with us is when we forget about him. He never lets go of us. He is there beside us. All we've got to do is reach out and take his hand. His Holy Spirit dwells within every believer, and Paul tells us this in God's word in Galatians 5:16, which reads, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." You know, if we listen to and live our lives by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to direct us, it's going to be so painless. But it's not always so easy to do, because we are sinful people. But if we could just do that, our lives would be so much, so much better. You know, we'd be easy to stand firm in our faith. And if we did that, then we could know the true freedom from fear and enjoy the perfect peace that the Lord wants for each of us to enjoy. As we can read from his word in John's Gospel 14, verse 27, tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's what I believe the Lord is saying this morning to each one of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. As that lovely hymn puts it, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." You know, and if you're God's, you can relax and you can laugh at the world. It's easier said than done, I know, but you can. You can just relax and enjoy Him. It's not easy. It doesn't claim to be easy, because He tells you that to walk with Him is going to be hard. We've got to pick up our cross and follow Him. And what a cross we get when Satan attacks us in all fronts. And he will attack us in all fronts, through our family, through our friends, through our health. And it's so easy to get downhearted and, you feel lost and alone. And I know it's so easy to get depressed. But the only time you get depressed is when you look down. And the way to get out of depression is to look up. Look up to God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. And that's the only hope that we have, our hope in Him. Because without Him, all hope is futile. Now, if you claim to be redeemed, there's more good news here. From Jesus Himself, who said to us, from John 10:27-30, "My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, who could ask for greater assurance than that? And I would say, that's worth standing firm for, isn't it? And if you know and love the Lord this morning, I urge you to stand firm for your faith, to guard it and nourish it. And as the Great Commission demands, to share it. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Yeah? It's like that lovely little chorus used to sing as a kid in Sunday school. Like a little candle burning in the night, you in your small corner and I in mine. Yeah? You know, and that's what we need. We need loads of little candles burning in every corner. And don't be worried by what Satan would tell you. Well, there's only a few of you. You know, the Lord isn't worried about numbers. We worry about numbers because we're human. But the Lord's word tells us, where one or two are gathered together in My name, I'll be there in the midst. So don't let numbers or the size of organizations put you off or worry you, because we know who's on our side. The Lord is on our side. And no one is going to snatch us out of His hands. And I think that's brilliant. There is another thing we need to be aware of. If you know and love the Lord this morning, we need to know that God loves us. The Father loves us with an everlasting love. He has both a purpose and a plan for our lives. And He's waiting for those who haven't as yet accepted His Son, Jesus, to acknowledge Him as their Lord and Saviour. And they're going to have to receive His gift, which we can read from in John 3:16. It's a gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I note it states, whoever believes. It doesn't matter whether they are Jew or Gentile, what the colour of their skin is, how handsome or how ugly they are — that's a good thing for me, isn't it? How young or how old — another good thing for me. God loves you. And in Jeremiah 29:11, we are told, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's a lovely verse, but it comes with a caveat. To accept that verse, you need to have acknowledgement. There needs to be repentance, and there needs to be acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There is only one future for those who haven't accepted him as their Lord and Savior. And it's not a bright one. Well, it is a bright one. But the brightness is going to be supplied by heat from an inexhaustible supply of fire and brimstone. And that's not the future that God wants for any one of his creation. But as he is a God of righteousness, a gracious God, we have all got a choice. And everyone's got a choice. And it depends on your choice what future you're going to have. So I would recommend that those of us who know the Lord, that we seek his will for our future. That we ask him to show us what he wants us to do and what he needs to do. And don't worry about feeling, well, I don't think I can do this. Because you need to remember that the Lord doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. So don't be afraid and don't think that anything is going to be above you. Because if it's the Lord's will for you, he will prepare and provide all that you need to meet it. You think of Joseph. What did Joseph know? And yet what did he become? Second to Pharaoh in Egypt. You know, and it wasn't through what he had learned, what his skills were. It was what the Lord put in him. And the Lord wants to do that for each one of his children. He wants to give us a bright future with him. And we've got a bright future, a great future with him when we eventually go to meet him in the highest. Well, I hope it's up there. I don't know where it's up there or not. I don't know where it is. But we always say, up there in heaven, don't we? But wherever the Lord is, that's where I want to be. And that's where heaven is going to be with him. So that's what I'd like you just to, I'm just going to close there and leave that thought with you. Just ask him what his plan is for your life today, and to stand firm and stand on the word of God. Read your Bible and take food and solace from it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your promises, because they're all yes and amen. And Lord, help us to banish fear from our lives and to trust fully on you to deliver us from all evil, as our family prayer says, because you are our Father and no one is going to snatch you out of our hands. And Jesus, we thank you that you're willing to be obedient to the Father and to face that cross on Calvary for each one of us here today. And Lord, you went there, you conquered fear, you conquered death, and you conquered sin, and you made it possible for us to come back to the Father. So we want to thank you, Lord, as well. And Holy Spirit, we give you permission to move amongst us, to show us what the Lord's will is for each of us, and to help us to put it into practice. We ask for the courage and the strength to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.